I mentioned a moment ago that neither coach had used their challenge.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to the Coach's Challenge. Today, we're here with our guests, Carl, Harold, and Miggs. You guys want to introduce yourself? No?
Yes? Yeah, I mean, I'll start, man. My name is Carl. I'm just a basketball lover. I'm a Knicks fan. I've been killing in fantasy for mad years now. I was supposed to win this year, but hashtag coronavirus took it from me.
This is like your best season.
Yeah, this was I was first place in three leagues, bro. I was supposed to make lots of money, but you know what happened? So it's cool. I got taken out by Corona. I was having a LeBron MVP season this year, but it's all right. But I'm here to talk. I'm here to talk MJ today.
I'll go next. I'm Mr. Miggs, aka Team Chuck Norris, the elite fantasy owner of all time. I'm a Bulls fan. Been a Bulls fan since 1988. Just here to defend the best team ever made, ever assembled in all of sports. That's it.
I wasn't even alive then.
Yeah,
me either.
Yo, I'm H. Y'all already know I'm the commissioner of the FBA, the commissioner of the FFL. I'm also a LeBron fan. Go Cavs. Also, that's my team. I'm here to make sure the narratives, perspectives, and details are being mentioned.
So everybody listening, in case you guys are wondering, pretty much what we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking about the episodes. Well, we're going to talk about the miniseries, The Last Dance, which is a miniseries that's airing on ESPN about it's filming the Chicago Bulls 97-98 run. So with that, I want to come to you guys and ask you guys, what were your thoughts of episode 1 and 2 that just aired this past night?
I mean, just general opinion, like, I felt like it was a really good episode. I mean, like, I think we learned a lot about everything. We learned a lot about Krause. We even learned about Scottie Pippen. So I think this documentary informed a lot of people. And I think nowadays we kind of know who the real GOAT is. I just want to start off with that.
Who's the real GOAT?
MJ.
Okay, just checking. H, what were your thoughts? What are your takeaways?
I'm ecstatic about this documentary, honestly. I love the fact that it's out and people like Ron and others that aren't informed about what went on during Michael Jordan's and the Bulls, all the Bulls, Scottie Pippen, Rodman, Kerr, BJ, who they haven't even mentioned, Horace Grant, who they haven't even mentioned, Ron Harper. Anyway, y'all get my point. I'm just ecstatic that all the details are finally coming out, because LeBron gets criticized so unfairly because of how the media is right now. We all get to see it in front of our eyes, so it's fresh in our memories. We get to see his negatives and his positives. I'm glad this documentary is out, because you finally get to see the negatives and the positives of Jordan. I'm not taking away any of his stats, any of his accomplishments. Never. But I'm glad people are finally seeing details, and I'm glad people are finally talking about it. You feel me? Giving their opinions. Celebrities, Shannon Sharp, dudes like fucking Jason Williams from ESPN giving his opinion on things that, you know, we wouldn't normally see because it's not in front of our face, so we have to go back to it. I'm glad we're going back to it.
So people listening, in case you want, you didn't hear random names. Those are the names that's in our basketball circle. So if you hear a name like Ron or whatever and stuff like that, that's the dudes in our basketball.
My fault for that.
And basically, I've got nothing new from the first two episodes. I don't see myself getting anything in the information I don't already know. I followed them. That was one of my favorite teams. I've known them since 1988. If anything, I'm happy that this actually came out, because number one, it shows how powerful and how good of a player that Scottie Pippen was. He's always been underrated. When people, you know, people just consider him as a sidekick, but people forget that this guy was that good that the only person that was better than him during his prime was MJ. People forget about that one season when he, after MJ retired, what he did, the fact that he put up LeBron stats. He put up LeBron stats. He carried his team. He was third in MVP voting, but nobody gives him that credit.
What was his stats? LeBron
stats. He was LeBron after
the
he,
the when year after LeBron the year, the year that
Let him explain.
The year that Jordan retired, Pippen was averaging 21 points per game, 5 rebounds per game, and about that's no, I'm sorry, LeBron. 6 rebounds per game,
that's
6
LeBron. Per game. That's LeBron rookie stats.
How's that LeBron stats?
That was good enough to get third in MVP voting that year.
But it was LeBron stats. What was – okay, hold up. Because I got internet over here. And what's it called?
He was averaging 25?
Yo, Shaq was averaging 29 that year. Word. Hakeem was averaging 27. David Robinson was averaging 27 and 10.
He did.
Karl Malone was averaging 26 and 7.
Who was the last person you said?
Karl Malone.
Karl Malone, all right.
26
now, let me ask you, so you're saying, so you said Shaq, a center, was averaging how much?
29.
Hakeem, another center, was averaging?
27.
D-Robs, another center, was averaging?
27.
Karl Malone, a power forward, was averaging?
26.
Yet that year in MVP votings, Pippen came third.
Okay.
Took a non-Jordan team to the second round of the playoffs. They finished that year
you're having two different arguments. First you were talking about him averaging LeBron James stats. So I thought we were talking about stats. Now you're talking about him finishing third in MVP.
That's good enough. If he's putting up those type of stats and he's getting third in MVP voting, that means that he had a pretty good season.
We'll
say he's not LeBron James stats, but he did lead his team number one in everything. Isn't that LeBron James? He was first in scoring, rebounds,
that steals, I agree with.
All right.
That's kind of franchise-ish, right? If you lead in all the categories, you're leading everything, right?
It depends what team you're on. Because you have, what's it called, Marcus Morris was leading the Knicks in a lot of stats. But does that mean anything?
Guys, let's not deviate from your thoughts and opinions of the episode 1 and 2 of the miniseries.
The other part that I like about it is the fact that they showed how difficult it was to get the fifth and the sixth championships. You know, it's one thing when you're going in a league, you got to understand in that era, there wasn't like, nobody was in awe of anybody. Nowadays, when you're playing, you know, you got LeBron James LeBron James playing against players that were like going to his summer camps. That was in his coming camps. They're in a way in awe of the people that's going around. Meanwhile, in that chance, people saw Michael Jordan. They knew who he was, but they still wanted to go at him. They wanted to go at him hard. Nobody gave the Bulls any leeway. Nobody was like on some, we're going to just, fuck it. It's the Bulls. They're going to blow us out and everything. They played these guys hard.
Hard at teams now?
I don't know, a lot of people don't go hard as much as teams. So especially, you don't go hard as the champions.
Everybody was trying to beat the Warriors during the time that the Warriors
I think he's saying like the level of aggression, the competition.
Well, no, you know what? And actually, yes, you're right, Mike. And I will say this. You're correctly right. This season, if you're looking at this season so far before the shootout, you see the way that everybody was going at the Warriors. The fact, how everybody was just making sure that we're going to get these motherfuckers for every little thing. I could curse you, right? So you saw everybody was literally how they were getting at him. That's basically how it was for the Bulls throughout their era. People wasn't scared of them or giving them props. They were going at them hard. There was a little bit more competition. There were more aggression when they came into town.
I don't know, man.
Thrown out by them. You know what I'm
saying? That sounds opinionated.
A good fight.
No, I could agree.
It's opinionated. It could be very well that it's not, but it is what the documentary is portraying as well, right? It is saying that, Jordan was at the top and he was literally saying that when the situation came for the sixth championship, there were so many things going on the outside about people trying to get to them because the fact that they are older, they do look like they, you know, they that fifth championship didn't come in sweet. It wasn't dominant as the 72 and 10, regardless of the fact that they went over 63 games the following season. But it was harder, and people started seeing a little chink in the armor. Now this is like maybe this is the time to the point.
I remember.
To the point that these guys, that ownership, the Bulls' own ownership was like, maybe we should kind of, you know, quit while we're ahead, cash out while we're up.
Yeah.
All over.
But honestly, I feel like that was a mistake on the ownership's part. I think if you're evaluating the ownership, I think like they made a foolish decision because if you look at that year, MJ was still killing. MJ was.
I just want to make one point though. Yeah, you know I'm saying, but I just want to make one correction on that.
Go ahead.
It wasn't Jerry Reinsdorf, the owner. The owner wanted to keep everything going. His vision was: is Jordan's playing, we're going for a ring. Jerry Krause, on the other hand, he was the general manager.
Yeah, you're talking about that year.
But he basically was the guy that ran the team because Jerry Reinsdorf had two teams. He was like, you know, out there. He was like, just get
Jerry,
to me when you need.
Jerry okayed the breaking up, though. He okayed the breaking up, not for that year, but afterwards. He was okay with the idea of the Bulls going.
Yeah, he backed up Crouch.
Yeah, they couldn't have.
You're right. You're absolutely right. He had
Krause's back. He gave Krause's blessing. He's like, do whatever you want. You built it, do whatever you want.
So back to what I was saying. I'm saying is that, like, if you're evaluating that team, one, that team is killing. And I agree with what Michael Jordan was saying, is that, like, you can't just, like, if we're winning, you need to give us an opportunity to continue winning, right? When we lose, then you could talk about breaking it up. I don't see how you look at that team being washed. When you looked at MJ that year, he was the regular season MVP. He was the All-Star Game MVP. He was Finals MVP. He was scoring champ, all defensive first team, all NBA first team. Like, bro, how was he washed that year, bro?
Carl, can I interrupt?
Yeah, please go ahead.
All right, I agree with what you said.
And they won the championship too.
Yeah, they shouldn't have broken them up. You feel me? But you should know better than a lot of us that management has a mind of its own.
Exactly. Right? That's why we're criticizing management.
Them niggas got egos.
Of course.
They have attitudes. You know, bro, you know how it is. The Knicks, the Cavs, you know. So when you have a superstar going, you feel me? When you're a superstar and your general manager and your front office don't get along, you know, a lot of players now, they leave. A lot of players back then, they stayed for the money. That's fine. You know, back then, the contract situation. What happened?
Or for the fake loyalty. Like, some players felt like, yo, you know what? I came to this town. I'm loyal.
Yeah.
To this
town. Yeah, that era. Yeah, that era. I understand. But the reason why this. My fault, Carl. I was interrupting you.
Now you go. You go.
Yo, the reason why this era right now is so mobile is because of that era. And they saw how fucked up the front offices did the players. I'm not blaming Scotty. When I say poor Scotty, you know, I'm trolling, but because he made his money on the back end with Houston and Portland. And the Bulls gave him some more money to come back and retire for them. So they overpaid him. Yeah, so they overpaid
for 2 years.
Yeah. So they try to make it up. That's good. But what I'm saying is,
Scotty wasn't on that though.
No, I want to talk about Scotty next. But go ahead.
So, let me quick question then. What are your guys' thoughts on Krause? If you're talking about management,
well, that's the thing about it. You know, it's like how Carl and I was saying how he was the fact of how do you want to rebuild and saying that everybody's washed when Jordan was still at his prime. But it wasn't really about Jordan. What it really came out to the fact of the matter is, it's like how H said, people have certain egos, and the ego was, the problem was, is that, it wasn't never between Krause and the players. It was between Krause and Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson, he brought on as an assistant coach in 1987, 1988. And then he started grooming him.
For Phil Collins, right? For Phil Collins.
For Doug Collins. Doug Collins.
For Doug Collins. Doug Collins.
I wasn't even doing that.
And he, after Doug Collins stepped down, he went over and he replaced him with Phil. Phil Jackson. It's like Jerry Reinhold said, we wouldn't know who Phil Jackson is if it wasn't for Jerry Krause.
Exactly.
But what ends up happening is that what people don't get is the fact that by that time, Phil Jackson literally said his way to kind of, people don't know this, but his way to kind of get, you know, a bond with the players for the Bulls, he literally saw the fact that MJ by then already had issues with upper management. He didn't like the fact that they think about, you know, trying to tank. They think, you know, they hate people, players and everything like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, so by then he hates it. Phil Pippen hates it. You know what I mean? Like, he already saw that. He said, you know what? What's a good way for me to kind of, you know, build this bond with the players? So he built a culture in the players where, like, you know what? It's us against them.
Pippen would have gotten eat. My fault.
Hold on. But because of that, Jerry Krause kind of felt the way where it's like, first of all, not only am I not getting credit for this dope moves and I'm the reason why I became a championship, you got to understand how Jerry Krause feels. It's like, look, Jerry Krause was a scout. He was a scout. And I'm talking about, like, this is the type of
baseball dude, scout.
You would put it like this. Jerry Krause is a baseball scout. But more specifically, more specifically, Jerry Krause was the type of guy. Jerry Krause was the type of guy you wouldn't want to have in the fantasy league. And the reason why is because his niche, his the best thing that he ever did was he could look at those late rounds, he could look at that bench, those drops, and he could just pick amazing drops. That was his claim to fame. That's what got him over. You know, that's what supposedly got him into the
league. I heard he wanted to trade Scottie.
Let me ask you this before you say that.
The man's a genius.
Before you say that. When he drafted in 1987, when he drafted Pippen and Horace Grant, nobody in this room, especially me, knew who the hell Pippen and Horace Grant were. They were fucking a bunch of nobodies. Pippen was a Division III college basketball player. If anybody has gone to college, I would love for everybody to just kind of see, out of everyone that's been drafted in the last 30 years, how many people did not
Snobby came Buttle? From
high school or non-Division I players. That's what I'm fucking heard of. You've got to be like
Snobby Buttle?
He did his job in that aspect.
Can I be Buttle?
Phil Jackson. He's my man, Phil Jackson.
Miguel, can I respond to that?
All
right, so we're going to give him his props for Scottie Pippen, right?
All
right.
And Horace Grant. That's it.
That was 1 year.
that's as much as I'll go.
Okay, but that was 1 year.
He was making- that's all you give him? Migs, how can that's all you give him, Migs?
In terms of drafting. We're talking about drafting, right? Because hold on. Let's stick to one topic. Because you calling him the draft goat right now. And you saying that people would be scared of him in fantasy because he finds late.
He's a scout. That's his niche. Whatever. He's a scout.
Listen.
Migs
is arguing for him.
So, Migs, look, I wasn't even watching basketball at this time period, but I was able to look up and do research, right?
Right.
What he do in 1989? The Bulls had 3 picks. I was born that year, right? So their 3 picks that they
Brad Sellers.
In 1989.
Was Brad Sellers?
Huh?
Was Brad Sellers one of them?
Yeah, I think so. Stacey King and Jeff Sanders, right? You know who they could have had?
Dawkins.
They had Nick Anderson, Tim Hardaway, Sean Kemp, and Cliff Robinson. So he messed up that year, 1989. Imagine the MJ with those 3 players. Right?
I'm gonna tell you right now the biggest duds in Jerry Krause's thing.
1992. He picked Corey Blunt over Nick Van Exel. 1995, he made mistakes. 1998, he made mistakes. So you know what? If you
and in 2000 and in 2000 he got Tyson Chandler and Eddie Curry. Yes.
Yo.
Okay. Bro. If you're talking he's made
but
more
he's a,
mistakes,
but he's a scout.
But he's made more coach? Mistakes.
Yo, the man is nice.
Listen,
the man
I only is respect nice. Him.
More mistakes drafting. Then he actually did in good draft.
I'm not calling him the draft goat, but he is nice.
Though. He made more mistakes in the drafts.
He all did. Right, but he very much did. He very much well did. However, despite his, he did a lot of bad picks. And he went not only, I'm just going to just go with what you're saying, Carl. He also went, there were a lot of picks that coaches and players were against, and he just said, fuck it, I'm going to pull the trigger on it anyway.
And was wrong.
That nigga traded.
And was very wrong.
Traded Oakley. And was wrong.
Oakley was wrong. Cartwright.
But there were three things, actually four things that Jerry Krause in the basketball world got right. Horace Grant, Scottie Pippen, the trade for Bill Cartwright, Tony Kukoc.
Okay, the trade for Bill Cartwright. Bill Cartwright was good on that team. On that team, he was a perfect fit, according to the documentary. But it wasn't like he was the best player you could have won any team. Yeah, so.
That nigga traded Will Perdue for Dennis Rodman, bro.
He did.
Jesus Dude, Christ.
Think about that. The guy got Scottie Pippen, you know, second, third pick overall, you know, trading him with Seattle. He got Horace Grant that same year.
That nigga was going to trade.
Original thing.
He was going to trade Scottie.
Yo, he did okay. But my thing is
he did okay that year.
You did it for a man that year.
All the other years, not as much.
But they got three championships off of those deals.
Okay, they got three championships, but most of the championships is off of Jordan, bro. Jordan is 90% of the reason why they got the championship.
It's off of the whole team. It's off of the whole team.
It's off of the whole team, but it's
Jordan, bro.
Jordan.
I hate that this is going. I really hate that this is going. Like, I got to defend this guy because I hate crumbs. I hate crumbs, but I got to defend him at least on this. And I'm going to give you the perfect example.
You have to, bro. You have to. It's your team.
LeBron James left Cleveland for Miami because of one thing.
Mm-hmm.
The last 4 years before he left, he was asking for help. He was asking for help. He said, guys, I need help. They gave him a washed up Shaq. They at no point in time did they ever put the pieces together to try to make him, you know, excel. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the reason why I'm bringing that up. Flashback all the way over. It was Jordan's fourth year in the league. His first MVP year. 1 year after, no, 2 years after his second year. And if you remember correctly, in the
documentary, injury.
Second year, how he came back, dropped 63 on the freaking Boston Celtics. Something
with a loss. With a loss.
63 points on the Boston Celtics at that time. No. They already figured out, you know what? We have the best basketball player in the league right now.
Yeah.
We need to get him help. And you know what Jerry Krause
yes,
did?
Yes.
Got rid of all the motherfuckers that were washed up. And he said, yo, I'm going to reload. I'm going to put pieces around Jordan
He got rid of Jordan's friends. Oakley, my brother. He got rid of Oakley. Jordan didn't like that.
But he understood that, yo, we needed to do that. Do you know that Bill Cartwright? Here's a funny thing about Bill Cartwright. He sucks. He was never any good.
Yeah, but
there's two things that I will always appreciate him for that nothing could be respected. Number one was he was able to guard Patrick Ewing. Mm-hmm. And that's big. Because I'm gonna tell you right now, Patrick Queen was the shit. He was the bigger draw than Jordan. When Ewing got drafted, first, he was a bigger draw than Jordan. Matter of fact, the whole NBA draft was reorganized so that the Knicks would be able to draft Ewing. That's how big of a fucking person he was. And guess what? He couldn't do shit against Bill Cartwright. That was his weak. That was his kryptonite. And Jerry Krause knew that shit. And the other thing that I respect Bill Cartwright was is that he actually stepped to Jordan and he said, yo, my man, don't try to punk me. I'll break your legs. Simple as that. That's props. So, but getting back to what we're discussing, Jerry Krause did that. Not a lot that and the fact that LeBron James couldn't get that in Cleveland the first go around, it lets you know that, look, a lot of times people don't want to do whatever it takes to kind of just, you know, build a winning culture. There's not a lot of franchises that does that.
Exactly.
If there was, you know, we would have a lot more different championships and a lot more different dynasties. Now is when people do that. People say, you know what, we got a good thing going on. Let's build around it. But back then,
I didn't really build around it.
And Jerry Krause
did. Can I butt in?
Go ahead.
I agree. I think Krause said that I think it was championship start in the front office, and it's true. You have to be willing to do what you need to do to win a championship, and that's go over the luxury tax, hire the right GMs, the niggas that know, the coaches, pay the coaches, pay, you feel me? You can't be cheap to win a championship.
Over the luxury tax so many years, bro. Come on.
Robin?
Don't mean nothing. The Knicks have been over.
That's the Knicks.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
But every championship team, Carl, goes over the luxury tax because they have to pay players, my brother. They got to pay.
But here's the reason why.
You got to keep everybody happy.
Exactly. But here's the reason why. Yeah, what you said now is the reason why they do go over the luxury tax, because as you're winning, players start accruing value. And so now when their contracts
come
up, now you got to pay them. Remember Steph Curry was in his MVP season, unanimous MVP, he was like the third, I think, or maybe like the fourth. His contract was like the fourth highest one on that team. And amongst point guards, he wasn't getting paid that much because he also had signed a long-term contract when he was having his ankle injuries.
Yeah.
Contract too.
Yeah. Sorry? I agree with the ankle injuries. Yeah, he signed up.
With the ankle injuries. And then remember, then the NBA ended up getting a lot of money too as well. So a lot of times things change. Things change. Players start to win. They start getting accolades. Now, of course, teams have to go in deep into the luxury tax in order to keep those players.
Some teams don't want to pay. Some teams don't want to pay because they don't believe in the players that they got.
You know what team's a good example of that? OKC. OKC didn't want to pay to keep James Harden.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And OKC didn't want to pay. Cavs didn't want to pay to keep Carlos Boozer either. Cavs didn't want to pay Carlos Boozer in Cleveland when he was with LeBron, so he ended up snubbing them for Utah, bro, who offered him the money. You feel me? So the team's got to be – the franchise has got to be willing to spend, bro. It starts with the owner, man. That's why I kind of like – That's why LeBron, man, whatever. Next topic, dude.
Bro, but as you're saying that as a positive for the Bulls, it's also a negative for the Bulls, because had they been willing to renegotiate Scottie Pippen's contract, that team could have stayed for a lot longer.
Yeah, but no team wants to pay a player more than what they have to, bro.
I agree with you. Yo, Migs, I'm gonna let you go. But I agree with you. But at the same time, you gotta think long term. You gotta think, okay, you know what? We got something good right here, right?
We wanna
keep Scottie Pippen, because you just said most teams are not willing to do what they're supposed to do to keep a championship team going. If you believe in that statement, what the Bulls should have done in that scenario was do what they were supposed to do and renegotiate Scottie's contract, even though he
was do whatever it takes,
so that they could have kept that team together and they win more championships.
They should have done whatever it took to keep them back, to bring them all back and do whatever it needs to win more. Because, bro, if it wasn't for all of their egos, my nigga, watching this shit, I'm seeing that it was Jordan versus Krause, Pippen versus Krause. Of course, Krause is gonna feel a type of way and wanna show these niggas who's the boss. These niggas is on the court, cool. They're the ones actually playing it and making it happen. But these niggas are the dudes with that make the moves and the transactions.
They're the white boys.
Yeah, they're the white. They you know, they're the man. The man. Yeah. The man.
They sign the check. Listen. Go on, H. No, go on.
No. But what I was saying is management. Yo, man, I be getting pissed off, man. The only reason I agree with Jordan, they could have won 10. They could have won 10, bro. But both of them, both, they didn't make it. They didn't want to keep that together because them niggas didn't really get along. Pippen had a whole bunch of problems. Yo, Pippen would have gotten eaten up by the media right now if this was going on right now.
Oh, yeah.
That nigga got smacked up by Oakley. That lets me know that Pippen was a great number two because he didn't have – I don't think he had an ego. I don't think Pippen had an ego, bro.
Nah, he had an ego.
You're wrong.
He had an ego?
You're wrong.
Dude, give me an example.
Trust me, I met Pippen. You want to know an example of Pippen? All right, I'll tell you an example of an ego.
Give me an example.
All right. It's the 72-10 season, the playoffs, first round against New York Knicks. First two games, we split. We're back in game three in New York. They were staying at the Plaza Hotel. I went, me, my boy Claudio, my boy Elliot, we went down to go meet them. We saw them when they came in, saw all of them and everything. Then after a while, when they got checked in, whatever, they all started going out little by little. Scotty and Ron Harper went out to the Mickey Mantle restaurant that's owned by Plaza Hotel right up the street, right? So we're sneaking out and we're waiting for them and everything like that. And they come out. But before they come out, there's a big hoopla going on inside the restaurant. Turns out there were New York Rangers in there, right? New York Rangers, right? Some of the members of the new players of the New York Rangers, they were in the restaurant. They were eating. They saw that Scottie Pippen and, you know, was there and everything. They went over and they said, hey, listen, you know, one of them went over and said, guys, you know, my son's, you know, a big Bulls fan and everything like that, you know, and everything. You know, I want to get your autograph. Is it all right and everything? And Scottie Pippen said, no, go fuck yourself. It was a big fucking, you know, big bullshit and everything like that. And then they left. So we're walking outside. These guys, you know, Pippen and Ron Harper.
That nigga knew you was a New Yorker.
Yeah. So they were walking and everything like that. And as we're walking, we come over. We realize all of this because we were told by people that were walking out because there was a big uproar and everything. So as they're walking, you know, we're trying to get their autographs and everything. And Pippen literally said, nah, go, like, nah. He literally was on some, like, he ain't trying to hear it. I was wearing full fucking Bulls fucking gear. And this guy was saying no, right? There was this kid, had like you know, like this nerdy guy. Like, he looked like he was older than us, but he kind of, like, was a little disabled, got a little issues and everything. Got, like, you know, the Medicaid glasses on, you know, with all broken, taped up and everything like that. He literally came over to Pippen. I'm telling you right now, I looked at this guy and I said, if anybody is going to get an autograph tonight, it's this guy. Because he just looked that sad. But he looked like he was following the Bulls for years. Like, he had, like, a big-ass binder, the Trapper Keepers, set up, like, their cards, their, like, you know, post, you know, photo thing. And he just wanted an autograph. Yo, Pippen, dead-ass, grabbed that shit, broke the pen, and snapped the fucking his binder off his hand and kept it moving. Ever since then, I realized one thing. He did that because he was in New York, and he was playing New York. And back in those days, you're the fucking enemy.
Yo.
Some of those NBA Rangers players strolled by, and they literally went over and they said, go New York, go New York, go. Go New York, go New York, go. Fuck you, Pippen.
Mm.
The type of Pippen he was. They were rock stars. They were rock stars. Migs. They were fucking rock stars, bro.
Migs.
They were bigger than just basketball. They were literally rock stars, man.
I'm not debating that.
Bro, I got an autograph from Steve Kerr. And you know what Steve Kerr told me? He's looking away. This is Steve Kerr. The man that broke a blackboard, you know, during a timeout because he was pissed. These guys were rock stars, man.
Okay. Mike.
Yeah, Pippen had. Trust me, Pippen knew who he was, and you know what? Now I understand the reason why he acted like that because the guy was underpaid. Ron Harper was making more money than him.
Mike, yeah. the way I feel about Kraus is two ways. I look at it two ways. If I was a Bulls fan, a real Bulls fan, I would like Kraus because he did what it took. He did what it took to build me. The greatest team ever, with the greatest player, the greatest sidekick, managed to do all the right moves to win six. I don't care. As a Bulls fan.
What has he done since Jordan, though?
Hold on.
Tyson Chandler, Eddie Curry.
Hold on. But also, if I was an MJ fan, which a lot of these people are disguised as Bulls fans, that's why they blame Krause, because they are fans of just Jordan. They want what's best for Jordan, and Krause wasn't doing what was best for Jordan. He was doing what was best, what he thought was best for the Bulls. Because if you build something, Carl Migs, if I build my championship team, if I become a champion in the FBA then next season, I don't want nobody telling me anything about what I'm doing. I'm a draft. I'm a pickup. I know it all because I did it. I achieved the highest success. So my ego goes up.
Let me ask you a question, though.
Now, if I want to pick up Dinwiddie.
Question.
Yes.
Yo, all right. Same, different scenario, right? If you have a team in the FBA, right, and you played 13 weeks and you 13-0, are you getting rid of that whole team?
It's up to me. Exactly. It's up to me. It's up to me.
But you're an idiot.
Let me ask him this question.
You did that.
Carl, let me ask him this question.
But I take away all the props for you making that dumb decision.
Can I ask you a question, H? You got a good point.
Nobody gives credit to Krause for building it.
Everybody that was in Chicago, everybody gave props to Krause. He was the reason why they broke up.
I agree with
it. It had nothing to do with rebuilding. You know what he wanted to do? You know what he wanted to do? He wanted to just screw Phil Jackson over. That was the problem. Look, listen. I'm just going to let you guys know in on a little secret right here. We talked a lot about money so far. And the documentary, one of the biggest things of the documentary that they made a spotlight on was Scottie Pippen's contract, right? While it is true and everything like that, there was actually worse tragedy than that. It was the tragedy of Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Guys, Michael Jordan made a total of $89,772,500 off of an NBA contract alone. I'm going to repeat that again. The best player to ever play this game in his whole NBA career on an NBA salary didn't even make $90 million.
Yeah. Because money was different back then, bro.
No, it wasn't because of that. It was because
money was different.
They talked about 30 million in the last two years. Hold on, wait. They talked about 30 million in the last 2 years. Now I just said that this guy didn't even crack 90 million. He made 60 million in his last 2 years of his whole career with the Bulls.
Okay.
So that means that he only made 30 million his whole prime.
Migs.
And this is the reason why. No, wait. This is the reason why. There was a lot of people already making that money. Magic Johnson was Mike Newtom. Migs, for the sake of time, Carl,
just get off what you have to say real quick, and then I want to talk about MJ's legacy after you guys watch.
Honestly, I was just going to tell Migs, like, yo, in order for him to establish that point, he has to show other players who are making substantially more than Michael Jordan. If you're not giving me a whole list of players that were in his era during that time period that was making more than him, then you can't really call it a travesty. I think the only travesty is the travesty of that time period.
Bro, you got Jordan making $845,000 in his fourth year that was his MVP season. At that time, if you look over, trust me, there was a lot of players that was making $1 million in their contract.
I can't trust you, bro. I can't trust you.
Okay, so guys, we'll leave it at that. I want to ask you guys your thoughts on that Carl Migs at H with the weak lungs. So I want to ask him your opinions on MJ's legacy after watching episode 1 and 2.
I mean, for me personally, I think like my opinion hasn't really changed. So I am a lot younger than Harry, and especially a lot younger than Migs. So like when I first started watching basketball was 1997. So I mean, around that time, like, you know, MJ was pretty much at his peak and also getting ready to be out of the league. So for me, I was part of like everybody who looked at MJ as God. So like they show in the documentary, I forgot where they were traveling to, but they said, okay, MJ is bigger than the Pope. Like, you gotta imagine how big of a person you have to be bigger than the person that most people consider to be second to God. And we're also calling MJ God. So like I grew up at that time, like I have like a lot of MJ fans, like I idolize him. So after watching this documentary,
fuck, I'm like, MJ.
It's more of the same. Nothing in this documentary has made me like MJ less. And nothing in this documentary could make me like him more because it's at the top.
I hear you. Fuck MJ, first of all.
Yo, check this out.
Wait, hold on, Migs. Let me hear Harold's thought. I want to hear Harold's thought. I want to hear that with Harold.
Damn, he want to get.
Because I'm about to go in on the stats. I'm about to retort that right there, and it's going to be very, very interesting.
Let me hear what Harold thinks. Because that don't know, Harold's an avid LeBron fan. I just want to hear what his thoughts are after.
The way I see it, this the documentary is shown, especially during the quarantine. This shit is genius. Because we really get to dissect, you feel me? Niggas really get to dissect the way they do the players of today. You feel me? So since we don't have basketball right now, we get to dissect this team, this run that they had and all that, this great team, Hall of Fame team, whatever you want to call them. You know, we get to see their imperfections. We get to see their contract negotiations. Their dumb moves, their great moves, their competitiveness, their assholeness. You feel me? We get to see a little bit of how Jordan. You feel me? I wanted to see things that I didn't know, and I got to hear the audio of when this nigga was trolling when they were trolling Krause, when he was talking shit to Scott Burrell, when he was cursing at Harper, fucking Harper. You feel me? That's awesome. You feel me? I mean, you know, I got to see that side. But as far as his legacy, to me, I grew up not liking Jordan. I grew up rooting against Jordan. I grew up picking players that I thought would beat Jordan. They never did. That's fine. That's fine, right? So I did consider him the GOAT. Growing up, I did consider him the GOAT. I never questioned it. There was nobody else. Vince Carter, Allen Iverson, them niggas, they weren't following the footsteps of the GOAT, which Michael Jordan built. He built the blueprint on how to become the GOAT. He did it perfectly, but he had a lot of things fall into place. You feel me? Because then when you see a nigga like LeBron, you see that you see the struggle that nigga has had, the bad luck. You feel me? I'm not trying to make up any excuses, but you see how many things. What happened? I'm looking for my life.
We are this close to just switching a whole new debate.
All Harold is doing is giving his thoughts about his.
That was hilarious.
I'm building it up because my opinion is different than theirs. I didn't grow up a Jordan fan. I grew up hating Jordan, rooting against him. So no, I am looking.
It's respect.
So I am looking for the imperfections. I am looking like, yo, is that story real that I heard that MJ really knocked niggas out? You feel me? I never. Thought nothing less. I thought MJ really knocked niggas out back then. You feel me? At one point, I thought he did, bro. I thought when he hit that shot against Cleveland, that he did the that he
oh
did
that
the,
he hit Craig Elo. Nigga,
I thought he won a ring right there, right?
You thought he kicked Craig Elo in the face?
The 66.
Cleveland is in the East, bro. How?
Listen, the 66, the 63 points against the Celtics. I thought he won a ring that right there. That's how niggas.
We're in the East, bro. How?
You feel me? Guys. I was very young during that time, so I wasn't
really up on it. You picked, I'm telling you, I'm not trolling when I say in the chats, look, guys, there's a, you know, in our little chats, you know, I put a thing out that I was like, it's the truth, you know, when H started watching basketball, Jordan was on top, so naturally he wasn't going to side with Jordan. The same way when I started watching basketball, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson were on top. I didn't want to go with them. And at the same time, I didn't want to go with New York because all of my friends were New York fans, were New York Knicks fans. I didn't want to go with them either. You know what I mean? So I had to look for a team. I literally had to go for a Leem, and I said, like, yo, who's, like, dope out there, whatever, like that? And I literally saw Michael fucking Jordan in the 1998 season. He won the MVP.
Coronavirus.
I'm like, nobody fucking knows about them. So, you know, I started watching them since then. Here's the funny part about 1988, and this is where I get back at you, Carl, how you were saying how about the contracts. Guys, in 1988, Jordan won MVP, right? That was his fourth year, right? By then, if you saw the documentary, by year two, Magic Johnson and Larry Bird already told you that he was the best player in the NBA. That's how much the NBA best player, you know, the best player in the NBA was making in his MVP season. $845,000, right?
And I will now name the contract.
I will now name you the top players that in salary wise for the 1988 season. Patrick Ewing, $2,750,000. Magic Johnson, $2,500,000. Moses Malone, $2 million. Robert Parrish, $2 million. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, $2 million. Larry Bird, $1,800,000. Ralph Sampson, $1,735,000. Jack Sigma, $1,600,000. Alex English, $1,500,000. Dominique, $1,460,000. Akeem Olajuwon, then known as Akeem, not Hakeem, $1,452,000. By the way, there's already been a couple of, like, that guy, he was drafted also with Jordan. Terry Cummings, $1,330,000. Joe Barry Carroll, $1,325,000. Buck Williams, $1,300,000. Kevin McHale, $1,300,000. Orlando Woodridge, $1 million. Bill Cartwright, $1,135,000. Bill Cartwright was making more money than fucking Michael Jordan while he was playing for the Knicks. Tree Rollins, $1,100,000.
Your point, bro.
He's worthy. I'll just end it with this one. Sam Bowie had the 21st highest NBA salary at $1,055,000. The year that Michael Jordan won his MVP season, everybody in the league already knew by then he was the best player in the world. He just finally just got appreciated for it, and he made $845,000. Okay, let me tell you something. Man. What I'm trying to say is this.
Oh my God!
When it comes time to salary, don't talk to me about Pippen. Everybody's trying to make it seem, and it's true. I'm just applying to the fact that media right now is making it seem that yo, Jordan could have hooked this boy up, Pippen, right? Well, first of all, Jordan got fucked by the same fucking franchise. And you know why? Because the owner had what I call a respectable business decision. When I was a kid, I hated the fact that this shit was happening. But now I like it. And the fact is this. You name your price. In life, you name your price. They made a deal. They signed a contract. That's it.
All
right, the value of this contract skyrocketed because it just so happened that when they signed these stupid long-term contracts for little money, the NBA didn't have a hard salary cap. The NBA wasn't as dope as it is now. Guess who made that happen? The Chicago Bulls. The salary cap of the NBA doubled because the Bulls were that good and they were bringing in that much ratings and things. So guess what happened? The actual players, they were never paid for it. Because they were in an era where they made their
All right, yeah, I feel you. I agree. That.
So they doubled up.
I agree.
So guess what? There's a lot of resentment, right? Mike Jordan did what he did. And the way he looked at it is that, yo, Pippen should have done what he did. And that's it. And that's all. The reason why the Chicago Bulls were one of the, best players ever is because they would just happen to be financially able to hold on to that whole team long enough to win six rings.
Right,
that's really what it is. Because of the Bulls and what happened to the Bulls.
Let me hear what Carl has to say.
Yo,
Carl has a point. He's want to let this point out for the longest.
Yeah, bro, man. Yo, Mix can't stop, bro.
I'm just dropping. I'm just dropping that right there.
Nah, but Mix.
Lamont, mute him.
I know you created a whole list, right, of contracts that were higher than MJ's. But in order for you to evaluate that list, first we got to look at how people were getting paid during that time period. It takes more research than just going down the list. You got to look at when did MJ sign his contract? Because if he signed an earlier contract, and what's it called? That was towards the end of his contract. That may explain why maybe, let's say, if Magic Johnson or players that are making more money than him, if they signed at a later date and time, of course, there's a good chance that they were going to make more money than him. Look at the example with, like, Steph Curry. Right? Steph Curry signed an earlier contract, and he was, like, one of the lowest paid point guards while he was the unanimous MVP. Mike Conley was the highest paid player in the whole NBA at that time in that period, right?
Michael Jordan signed a contract the same time as Sam Bowie, and Sam Bowie was making about $250,000 more than him.
Okay, now then you got to ask, okay, whose fault is it that Sam Bowie is making more than MJ? Now, what went behind MJ's decision? Now, we also know that MJ was establishing the platform for Jordan's at that time. So maybe there was another avenue where he saw that he was making money, and that money made up for the lack of money.
You're absolutely right. And that's the reason why MJ never bitched about it.
Right.
Guys, that's the reason why MJ never complained about it, because his endorsement deals was in the billions.
Nick, yeah. Right. Also, maybe he spoke to management and said, you know what, I'll take a pay cut so that other players can come. Because how many times great players, like we see players like Dwayne Wade, we see players like LeBron James, we see
Tom Brady,
Kevin Durant, get paid a lot less than they're supposed to, so that management has flexibility with money.
That's why
before you just show me a list, you gotta go through the other research before I could say, okay, well, you know what? MJ got screwed, because I didn't see that in the documentary.
That's why the Heat, because of his endorsements, MJ would have been signed. All right.
Three contracts equally. The Heatles, they wanted to equally sign three contracts
to make it work.
Exactly. Yeah, to make it work. So nobody had an ego. Nobody did.
Mike Jordan, for his 10 years of his prime, literally only made $30 million in NBA contracts.
Okay, but
the only reason why he tripled it in the last two was for the simple fact of the matter is that what ends up happening is that this guy named Crumbs, Jerry Krause, went over and said organizations make championships, not players. That set this guy off. So he said, you know what? Now the price goes up for my services. $30 million back to back.
Exactly. So
before then, yes, he was not.
No, I'll tell you this. He's not lying.
Really was at that time.
Based on what you're saying, better salary wise.
He's not lying because right now you see.
I'm sorry, Hal. Go ahead.
You see the difference in franchise. You see the difference in organizations. You totally see, with or without players, you see the difference in front offices. The Cavs front office sucks, even though I kind of like their moves. Kobe Altman be doing his thing.
They're pretty good.
But
better than the Bulls.
You see from the Knicks, you see from the Bulls now, you see from other teams like that just can't get it right. So it does start in the front office, bro. The niggas got to be willing to hire the right people, man. Sometimes you see certain hires, you hear, yo, they hired this person, like you know, the Knicks would hire a nigga
player for Capologist.
Yeah, well, you never know. I don't know who that guy is. Capologist. Never heard of him. I never heard that name.
Yo, money, bro. Like, you're hiring me as a capologist. I hope you do that, bro.
But there was a lot of problems going on back in those days, man. Like, look, it was a different era. Like, for example, it wasn't really a lot of, you know, players didn't have the protection that they have now. You know, there was no say of what the maximum could be or what anything like that. You know, bottom line
is, it was a war. It was a Wild Wild West.
Yeah, it really was a Wild Wild West. It really wasn't until like the Allen Houston.
It was more structured.
Allen Houston was the first major contract. It was like, yo, he got paid. He got paid, you know, based off his potential.
On the bench.
Yeah, but he got paid off based off potential. You know, like,
nigga,
like,
but he was killing like, for a while. He was killing.
Like, I'm sorry, Carl, the New York Knicks. And you know what's really fucked up about this is about
like
this whole
Allen
point.
Houston, man.
The only representation of the dynasty, because people are forgetting that the New York Knicks. Listen, if it wasn't for the Chicago Bulls, I'm gonna say right now, based off the sheer will, the New York Knicks would have won
crappy team.
At least two rings, guaranteed, two championships. Guaranteed. You know what I'm saying? And that's what's so great. What I love, the fact of like people forget about it. It's like, dude, there are 50 greatest players. About a good 30% of them played in the Jordan era. They don't have rings because of Jordan.
Yo,
say that about LeBron James, man. Kevin Durant got his. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
everybody got this.
Bowed down. Like, they still got theirs. Kobe Bryant
LeBron is just about to get his. LeBron is about to get hit.
I don't know. I feel like Kawhi was going to stop that.
Kawhi got two. Yo, I'm saying this. Like, yo,
oh, you talk. What y'all talking about? Y'all talking about money?
Mm-mm. Oh, no. We talking about things. But you know, one interesting thing that I also saw from this documentary, speaking of things that were interesting, yo, Scottie Pippen was the first Kawhi, bro. Yo, when Kawhi made those decisions, like, I was in my head thinking, like, yo, this is something new. And to find out in the 90s, there was a player doing the exact same thing. My dude was like, you know what? Instead of playing for the team, I'm going to get surgery done. I'm going to think about my body first. And then he said, I'm not going to play for y'all even when I come back. That's a Kawhi move.
I mean, I kind of agree with that. But Michael Jordan didn't see it that way. Michael Jordan saw him as selfish.
Exactly. But everybody on the Spurs thought Kawhi was selfish too. Remember the team?
Yeah.
They had a
meeting. I didn't.
You didn't. But the players are always going to think that way because the players are like, you know what? Yo, let's just win because it's a brotherhood. It's a brotherhood and we got to do everything that we got to do to win. So players, from the players' perspective, they're right in thinking that it's a selfish move.
I only bring light about the money because in Jordan's POV point of view, he sacrificed more money wise. He got fucked the most out of the Bulls. That's how he felt.
Well, players don't get what they deserve.
But more importantly, what more to say about Scottie Pippen,
especially the superstars.
Scottie Pippen was also the type of athlete he was. Dude, he was nasty. He was like, you know, like, yo, that was he was the first one of the first proficient point forwards. You got him, Anthony Mason, Grant Hill, and then after that came eventually LeBron. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's they're one of the top people of that. It should have, you know, it is what it is. But
nigga, Scotty was nice.
I love how they make sure to tell people and recognize the fact that we didn't have just one goat. We had two. We had two goats, one A and one B.
Damn, Scotty would have appreciated this back in 98.
Nah.
Back in 97.
Not a goat.
Back in 96.
Get out of here. Scotty was
that. What was that mix? Where was that mix back in 96, bro?
Scotty was not
back in 96. That wasn't the case.
What?
Back in 96, you didn't go to Chicago for Scotty. You went to Chicago. You know who you went to Chicago for.
Back in 96, I was a junior in high school. What the hell am I trying to go to see a home game in Chicago? I'm 40 years old right now, bro.
Scottie Pippen, you Scottie Pippen statue. Yo, have you seen the Scottie Pippen statue in Chicago?
Yes, it's next to the men's bathroom.
Carl, have you seen it?
Yo, it's next to the men's bathroom.
It's next to the men's bathroom.
Damn, bro.
It's a shoulder. It's from his shoulders up, bro.
Yeah.
They
it's
don't
shoulders up.
They don't.
It's a bust. Yeah, it's a bust.
They don't treat him like no goat, bro.
No pun intended. Right next to the bathroom.
Exactly. Like,
I'm glad
you need to take the shit. Go see Scotty.
That's another reason why I love about this episode is because they let you know, like, look, before this, you wouldn't have the GOAT actually say, listen, I'm only the GOAT because of one person, Scotty. You know what I'm saying? Like, you wouldn't hear this. You wouldn't understand this.
Yo, but what's how I rewinded that. I rewinded that. And when Jordan actually said that, they weren't showing him say it. They were showing a clip. So he's not on record, actually. You feel me? You don't really get to see him say it. You get to hear it.
I know you saw that
you
too.
You don't
right?
get to see him say it.
On record.
Jordan knows what he's doing, bro. Jordan knows. You feel me? He knows he got to keep.
You know what? Honestly, as a Bulls fan, you know what really what I love about this documentary is that it shows that seriously, look, dynasties, they always rise and they always fall.
Yes. And it's usually them that break themselves up. It's usually the dynasty within that fuck it up. Kobe and Shaq.
Not so.
Look at the Warriors.
Not so. Because they lost. But everybody catches an L before that. And the Bulls are the only team really that comes to mind, at least, you know, prove me wrong, that honestly they never lost. They never called
thank
it
out. Thank you, Jerry Krause. Thank you, Jerry Krause.
Not really, because
who's the reason why you can say that?
No,
Jordan wanted to wait until he lost.
We could have gone 4-peat. But the problem is that Jerry Krause made sure that you're only getting one more year. I mean, dude, think about this. Tim Floyd was the guy that was being groomed to be the head coach of the Chicago Bulls after Phil Jackson, right? And Tim Floyd had a meeting with Jerry Reinsdorf, the owner. And he literally told him, yo, listen, honestly, I think you should just let these guys die a natural death. Meaning that he felt that team deserved, they were the best team, not only in the NBA, but in all sports history. And they said that, yo, they deserve to catch an L. In other words, if they're going to lose, let them lose naturally. Let some other team.
I agree.
Let another team in the NBA beat them and then break it up. Guys, the New York Yankees lost their dynasty in 2001. When these guys think Boston Celtics lost their dynasty by the Lakers winning. The Lakers lost their dynasty by the Bulls winning. Detroit lost their dynasty when the Bulls beat them.
Those are good franchises that keep their players happy.
Yeah, every dynasty that you see, San Antonio, even recently, they lost. They got kind of hinged off.
Yeah, but Tim Duncan was a very nice guy.
Every dynasty catches an L. Every dynasty catches an L.
Tim Duncan was a very nice guy. He left a lot of money on the table, but he's getting it back.
But at the end of the day, every dynasty that was dominant, every sports franchise that was dominant at this point, at some point they catch an L and then they break up. The Bulls were the only fucking team that they broke up before they catch an L.
I don't know if that was Jerry Krause's plan, but it worked out great because it allows fans like you guys to say they never lost. So whether he intentionally did it for that reason or not, probably not, but it's worked out. Yeah,
that's a very good point.
Tell me no.
We went out when we're
they
on top.
They never lost. They never lost.
I'm not taking.
They never lost because if Jordan, if let's say they would have lost the next one, 6-7, it doesn't sound
as it dope. Doesn't have the it same. Doesn't sound as still, it doesn't sound as dope.
All right, exactly. So
it doesn't sound as dope, but
even though Jerry Krause probably didn't intend for it to be that way, that's how it worked out. And listen, I don't give him credit or not, but listen, he did something. He did something because he was pulling the trigger. The triggers. Jordan was definitely not making the decisions to bring in players. That nigga wanted to draft North Carolina players.
We could have gotten 7.
Jerry Krause. Jerry Krause was doing the drafts, trading the players. Jordan wasn't putting in, making no suggestions at that time. So I don't think Jordan deserves credit for what happens on the court. He nigga. That's why I don't blame him being called the GOAT. But to me, LeBron was expected to do this, and he did it. And he took over. He wasn't expected. He was expected to do all of this. He did it because Jordan set the blueprint. Jordan made it difficult because Jordan wasn't expected to do none of this. This was done off Jerry Krause probably getting lucky, and his track record shows that it was a run. It was a dope ass run. You feel me? Because then he couldn't do it after that. He that nigga drafted Eddie Curry. I mean, a whole bunch of baby bulls that you know.
He did. He didn't replicate it. But at the end of the day, that's how powerful Jordan is. Listen, Jordan came over. He literally said, "Like, look, I want to make Jordan, this franchise."
Jordan as gave them niggas a purpose.
The Lakers and the Celtics. That's think about problem. That. That's some naive shit when you really think about it. Because like in '84. There was only two things in the NBA. Matter of fact, if you watch basketball, there was only two things in the NBA. They made a video game off of it. It's the Lakers versus the Celtics. That's the real NBA Live. NBA Live really is the Lakers versus the Celtics. It's a game in basketball that somebody put the Lakers against the Celtics. And then a whole bunch of other motherfuckers called the rest of the NBA. You know what I'm saying? And this guy literally says, like, I kind of want my franchise, this little franchise right here, to be as dope as them. And he did it. The best franchise, the best team ever. And you could put that against time. You could put that against time because at the end of the day, these guys never really caught an L. And they faced a lot of adversity. So
we get into the hour. I know you guys were deep and intense in argument, debates, and whatnot. I just want to get your final points based on the last two episodes. The last two episodes, episode 1 and 2 that you saw this past Sunday. Final points, final opinions. We're going to start off with Carl.
Hey, I forgot Mike was still here, bro.
Yo, make it like 2 minutes. 2 minutes each.
You guys were in the midst of it. I didn't want to interrupt anything. It was in its natural habitat. I didn't want to touch on it.
Yo, show yourself, Mike. You're getting creeped out, bro.
I actually thought that was the he was going to that was live and it he was going to go sit back at that table.
That's my offer.
Getting creeped out being this dude.
That's what I'm saying. He was like, this guy lives in luxury.
Yo, Mike is the
glass cabinets.
Mike lives in luxury. Yo. I'm here thinking that Mike's going to sit at that table at some point.
My nickname is Mike Butzerplane.
That shit was live. Fucking Carl over here got like a. Law library behind them and shit like that.
Christ. Yo, come on, man. Make it like 2 minutes.
Carl, what's your final thoughts? Final thoughts.
It's gonna be short and sweet. My thoughts pretty much of this documentary, man. I'm very excited to see what the next episodes are gonna be about. I'm hearing a lot of good things. I've been listening to some podcasts. I've been listening to ESPN and people were saying, based off the previews of what they've seen so far, if you thought the first two episodes were good, the next episodes are supposed to be that much better. So, like I said earlier, I didn't really these two episodes. Besides the fact of me seeing Scottie Pippen doing a Kawhi move, which was like intriguing to me, like I didn't really get anything from this.
Perspective on Jordan. I don't know your TV. I was watching Law and Order. All right, sorry about that, Carl.
No, it's cool. So I was just pretty much essentially saying that nothing from this documentary really changed my perspective on history. It was cool to see what Scottie Pippen was dealing with in terms of the contract. It was also different seeing them, like, you know, cursing out Cross like that. Like, I think that was, like, a different side that people didn't really see. Like, you know, Jordan calling him short and you know, the pill jokes. And I didn't know Scottie Pippen had that side to him, honestly. Like, so I think that seeing a little bit of that was enlightening, too, as well. But I'm looking forward to the next documentaries, bro, the next few episodes, I mean.
Harold, final thoughts?
Yo, I'm glad people are realizing Scotty was Scotty, you feel me? Because he played a big part on the reason why they won so much, you know? And I can't wait till they get to Dennis Rodman. Come on, man. This dude was fucking... Anyway, that's the next episode.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, Scotty was crazy nice. He reminded me of LeBron. You feel me? His game was crazy. Was just like LeBron's, man. But LeBron's more athletic and shit, and he's more flashy. But and what else? Jerry Krause. You know, they finally get to see that he what he did, the role that he played. Flashy. You know, in this whole, you know, crazy 6-for-6, you know, so, and I'm glad, well, they're not focusing, well, the first two episodes, they keep flashing back to, see, man, that's why Jordan knows what he's doing, man, they keep flashing back to the great moments, like, they keep it as the story that people know, but what we're doing is what I like. And that's the documentary. I like the documentary, but the fact that people get the now we get to do research again, and we got time to do research, and we get to see that they weren't perfect as just 6-for-6. There was crazy shit going on behind it. The people know the details now. They're getting to know the details. Anyway, go ahead, Migs. Migs rolling up.
I just love the fact that they officially tell people the real story. The fact that the Bulls were public enemy number one because they were so great. The fact that it was really management, not really management, just Jerry Krause, his disdain for Phil Jackson. Like, how do you go over, win 5-time championships, have a team like you do, and have a player like Michael Jordan do, and tell a head coach who already, by your best player ever to play the game of basketball, already went on record saying that if he's not coaching me, I'm not playing. And tell the guy and say, you could win 82 games and go 0 losses, and you're still not coming back. That just shows you that like and my thing is, and that's,
but yo, Phil Jackson, like, is a crazy character though.
I wonder, like, that's what ridiculous.
I think Phil.
That's unheard of. Like, who the hell? Like, if you do that,
I think then
the story has to be like, you fuck my wife or you fuck my sister. Bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's gotta be something. It's gotta be something personal right there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
The guy literally said, "Yo, my wife is getting my stepdaughter. My daughter's getting married," and he invited everybody, and didn't even tell this guy about it.
So think about what Phil. Think about
the real hatred right there. And you literally say, you know what? And you know what's funny is that the thing about it is that people don't know is that the year before, Tim Floyd, the groom guy, the guy that they're saying that he was grooming him, you know, chilling and everything like that, the guy went over and told Jerry Reinsdorf, don't break this team up because of the fact that they deserve to just kind of ride it out. And then, do you know what Jerry, the owner, said? He said, you got the balls to say that to the guy that's grooming you? And you know what Tim Floyd did? Tim Floyd went over and said, bro, don't break this team up. And this guy literally said that in the middle of us winning a second of the second championship in the three-peat, he literally told this guy, he was like, yo, don't break this team up. Like, what are you doing? Like, and he said, yo, I cannot work with Phil Jackson. Literally, Tim Floyd said, like, bro, if that's the problem, if you guys can't be in the same room together, why don't you go downtown to the main office of Chicago and work there, and you just leave all of this alone and whatever. And this guy, Jerry Cross, was on some, nah.
Migs.
That's some crazy shit.
Migs, but you got to remember, too, when they first started the documentary, people were warning the Bulls owner about Jerry Krause. They were saying, like, he's very off-putting. He's the type of personality that people don't get along with. So, like, it makes sense when you hear, like, people like Phil Jackson, who was considered, like, a Zen master. He was a chill dude. Like, this is the type of dude that you smoke with or whatever, right? So, like, that's who Phil was. And all the players loved him, right? But for some reason, the players did not love Krause. And Phil didn't love Krause. And everybody didn't love Krause. So I think Krause was the issue.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, that's how bad. The only reason why the Bulls got to repeat, to go for six, was because Jerry Reinsdorf said, you know what? At the end of the day, Jordan ain't playing with no other fucking coach. I got to get this guy Phil Jackson back. Bro. And if Jordan's willing to play, he's like, yo, I'm willing to pay $30 million to Jordan, and I'm also willing to bring Phil Jackson back. He basically stepped over Jerry Krause's head right there. Not a lot of people don't see it that way, but he basically said, you know what, Jerry Krause, you kind of productive in this whole shit. I'm trying to go for six. Fuck it.
Yeah.
And he basically went over him.
And, man, I lost my point.
All right, Carl, final point. You want to say anything before we close out?
Word, I gotta go, man.
All right, so I want to thank everybody for listening to the Coaches Challenge. We're gonna try to hit you with a new episode every week for as long as the miniseries goes. I know the next.
And we gotta do this every week, B?
Yeah, we got it. It's a full time job, bro. We gotta pull up with this.
We can have different people.
Yeah, we could. That's the thing. We're gonna try to bring different people.
How many people can we have?
I mean, as many. Look, whoever is willing to contribute in the conversation is welcome to join.
Yo, next week I'm down, bro. Cause
let me know. Of course.
And then tell your brother he has to pull up. Cause
You
held your own though. I see that Migs the Migs takes over the conversation. He's the.
I was about to go in on this guy, but you
he was
know,
older in that era.
I respect
him. He ain't really straight from so many facts. He just, you know, organization. You know. He doesn't understand that organization style, but he ain't straight from the facts, so.
Yeah. All right, so.
Migs does it for you.
I'm going to close it off like this. And guys, thank you for listening. We're going to hit you off with a new episode next week. Peace out. Now you can stop fucking recording, Lamont.
Fuck up.